Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello there, I'm Jason Tantra and welcome to episode 18 of the Tantra for Gay Men podcast. In this podcast, Ingo and I are talking about cultivating tantric lovers, cultivating tantric playmates, and we have a really rich discussion where you're going to get five or six amazing tips to achieve that, to cultivate those lovers and playmates that you would like. Listen all the way through as that topic develops, and at the end we talk about another idea to be part of community at the Tantra Love Festival in 2025. Enjoy. So hello, beautiful Ingo.
Hello, beautiful Jason. Hello, my darling.
Here we are, would you believe, episode 18.
How did we get here?
I'm not quite sure. We're going to keep the Disney effect in go and make it look like it's super easy to do this and to be here in these podcasts, and there's absolutely nothing at all in the background to try and organize or make okay.
Let's start. What's the topic for today?
Well, I was going to start. We normally tell people where we are. And where are we for episode 18?
We are, again, in Benidorm.
We are in the sunny...
One of our many seasonal homes over the year.
This is it Costa Blanca?
Costa Blanca,
okay.
In Spain.
And it's beautiful. And we've enjoyed going out of Benidorm, actually, this week, which may not surprise listeners, or dear listeners, as we would call them, Ingo. And we've been going on some little beaches, haven't we? Taking our little sunshine blue with us.
Oh, there's a beautiful beach in the area. It's near Altea, if any of you know that. And it's just beautiful nature, and it's a dog beach. And we can take the dog, and he plays with other dogs every evening around sunset. And it's just always magical. Like a really magical end of the day, yeah.
Do you know, there is a spiritual thing for me here in Benidorm, Ingo, let me tell you.
Which is?
Would you believe I found a spiritual thing, and it wasn't a crystal shop, okay? It was not a crystal shop. One of the spiritual things I found, do you know, like the mountains we were looking out today, and it must have rained overnight, and there's like amazing green. I'm just in awe of the mountains.
Amazing mountains with amazing clouds above, yeah.
And just jaw-dropping landscape. And then we saw the moon set the other evening when we took sunshine blue to the beach.
You mean rise.
Was it rising?
Moon,
okay.
Yes, the moon was rising over the ocean. It was very, very moody. It was very, lots of clouds, very, very gray, but extremely moody when the last light is gone and the moon is coming up. Really amazing.
And then we had a sunset that reminded me of some of those that we see in Thailand. And for me, when I was saying about the spiritual thing, what occurred to me, and that for me this is like a metaphor, and it's appropriate to this podcast because it's about spirituality. For me, it's like you've got the intensity of Benidorm, where everything that's happening, the bars, the discos, the nightlife, bingo,
the Las Vegas of Spain,
yeah, just like
basically.
And it's like we can become so focused on what's happening immediately in front of us that we miss this big picture. And the big picture for me is, I would say, most people visiting Benidorm never ever know that it's held in this stunning landscape. And for me, that just feels like a metaphor for us as human beings, that actually we're held in this most stunning bliss, the stunning truth of who we are. And yet we get so caught up in our day-to-day life, so caught up in issues, thinking they're important. And there's just something beyond everything that holds us that's totally magical, totally amazing, totally, yeah. And so when I look at those mountains, that's what I'm reminded of, that actually we are held by something amazing, and it chooses to represent itself in the way that nature does, in the way that these stunning mountains and landscapes work.
Yeah, I remember once there's this this mountain directly behind Benidorm, and you can drive up, and it has this stunning view over the whole coast, and the whole, you know, the whole city is just, it's almost like a bird's eye view, and it's like you look down on the city, and and you see all of like the humanity, everything, you see it playing out, and still you've got this bird's eye view, and that's something, yeah, that is something for me that came to me on Tantra, where you live in this bird's eye view all the time. In the long run, you have this bird's eye view inside you, even if you are like, you know, even when you are caught up in something, and at the same time you can switch to this view that is super long term and that is super bird's eye at the same time, and you see that everything you are in is just a minuscule little thing playing out temporarily, which is held in, as you say, which is held in this infinitely much bigger context. And if you can switch to that, I think that for me is one kind of attainment on the spiritual path, to learn to be able to switch to that we train ourselves in Tantra to do that as we move through all of these processes we move through.
It feels like, for me, when I was looking out at the landscape, you know, it feels like on one level, like it's making love to you. Like I was looking out on these mountains, these huge, magnificent mountains, and there's just like an energy, there's just like a passion.
Yeah.
There's just like this, and it feels like it's not just amazing and awe, it feels like it's making love to you at the same time.
Yes. Yes, there's a magical, it is alive with energy, and that energy is it's playing with your energy system. There's almost like there's an interaction between your body, your energy body, and that energy body of the nature, so to speak. And that's quite tantric, because these
that's
are things
the reason I was naming it.
Yeah, these are things that we play, you know, we learn to perceive these things in Tantra. We learn to play with it when we play with like playmates in Tantra. Actually, our energy bodies are playing with each other all the time. But someone who, let's say, who hasn't done lots of spiritual development, they won't perceive it. But once you do Tantra enough, you perceive it all the time. And then at some point, you don't just perceive it when you have, you know, when you make love with a lover or something like that. You also perceive it with nature and this, or with the energy of a place or something like that.
Beautiful.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
This brings us
nicely. This brings us to our topic.
Which, do you want me to tell you what it is?
Yes.
Okay. It is cultivating tantric lovers and cultivating playmates. Let me just repeat that. Cultivating tantric lovers and cultivating playmates. And for me, as I hear that question, it's quite an interesting one, because I think there are different places that we could stop off for discussion. But in our centuries of teaching Tantra, I think one of the common questions that we've had time and time again is people having done, say, a residential a week with us, and then they're like looking to go back to their day-to-day life. And they say to us, oh, there's nobody to play with. There's nobody for me to share this energy with. There's nothing in my local area. And I think I've got several points here to talk about. But that's kind of a very common thing that we hear.
So they come with that problem. Basically, they come with this experience they have had in a retreat where there were so many people to play with and to have deep connection, and then they go back to their so-called normal life and they're like, how do I manifest that?
Yes,
right.
Yes, yeah. And I've got several answers, but I didn't know if you had some, or
no,
whether
maybe you start. And
is that a good summary of how I've kind of turned it into a problem that we get at the end of a retreat? I'm wondering if that's maybe a good way to start exploring this.
I think it is a good way, because isn't it interesting? Because it also, it's not just a problem that you need to, you know, that you might want to tackle or solve in your everyday life. It's also a problem that points to deeper structures of your own personal development, because coming back to this metaphor and not metaphor of being in this beautiful natural landscape, you could be in that landscape and not make love to that landscape, or you could be in that landscape and make love to that landscape. You could even be in a landscape that is far from perfect and make love to the energy that is contained in that landscape. So I would say we've got the practical level of how do I manifest this, these playmates, but we've also got the kind of spiritual level, how do I cultivate within myself the ability to be a playmate, a tantric playmate in the first place. And and for me, that is not just, you know, being able to have tantric sex and to have all these massages and to master multiple orgasms and all of that. It's also the ability, as we said in the beginning, to perceive energy, because making tantric love is a kind of energy sex and being able to perceive that at the same time.
And these are great points that you're raising.
But we are starting from one step before.
No, I want to go underneath that.
Yes, okay.
Because I wonder, as a men who loves men community, whether there's something in our psyche of growing up. For me, I identify as the label of as a gay. I'm a gay man. That's my Catherine Tate voice. I'm a gay man. So I identify, and what was very normal for me growing up as a child was growing up as a child and not having anybody of the same like mind around me. And if you listen to Freud ideas, we end up repeating childhood time and time again. And I'm wondering whether this, I can't find anyone to share tantra with, is a repeat of a normalized behavior that we have around not feeling met, not feeling like we've got anybody on our level, feeling as an outsider, feeling that we don't belong, feeling that there's nobody within a million years. And I think another feature for me, just whilst we're here, which I think we see in our retreats, for me, as a gay man at the age of 18, 19, that I came out, late bloomer, that's another podcast. For me, there was something about me having to go and travel, or having to travel long distance to find community, to find like-minded souls. And for me, that represented at the age of 18 as gay, coming from some West Country town in the UK to going to the big golden city of Bristol. And I think there's the same happens again in Tantra, where people travel vast distances to come and find community, to kind of find this frequency of Tantra that we offer, because there's something that is compelling and there's something that speaks to the very soul of people. I think Tantra reminds people who they truly are. It reminds people where home is. It reminds people of home. And I think that that remembering of home is so delicious, is so compelling, that people would travel very long distances for that.
Yeah, it reminds me of what I say to people. It's once you get into Tantra, you become a minority within the minority.
Yes.
We're already a minority because we are gay men.
Yes.
So that already sets us apart from, you know, the majority of people in the world. And then again, within the gay community, there's only a very small tantric community. So being the minority within the minority, the question is always, you will have to put some effort in to connect to community. You will have to travel, things like that. And the question is how strongly does it really, really attract you? So are you ready to put this effort in? Because once you put this effort in, something changes. You feel you're really becoming part of a kind of a global tribe that is very special.
So let me just summarize that. Yes. Then. I think our first piece of advice,
okay,
is in attracting tantric lovers, in attracting playmates, is go to the places where they are.
Yes.
And for me, where those places are on retreats, are at festivals. It's like go to the communities where you're going to meet those people and be there without any expectation, like a blade of grass in the wind, mm-hmm. and just see what lands, see what catches, yeah. see what sticks.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah.
So, but we didn't really address this, what I was saying before. I wanted to explore that a little mm-hmm. bit more, that it can feel really normal to believe that you can't find people that are on your wavelength.
Yes.
And that you're going to have your needs unmet. And I think yes. that's probably the second piece of advice, is to do a bit of self-check-in. Am I just repeating this script of I can't be met, people can't see me, people can't meet me at my frequency? Am I repeating something? Because when I've asked people, Ingo, in retreats mm-hmm. to pull up their mobile phone and read out their Grindr profile, 99% of the time, there is nothing, absolutely nothing on there that says, I'm interested in Tantra, I want to find some lovers, I want to find some play. There is nothing on the advertising mm-hmm. that says, there's nothing on the advertising that says what it is that they're looking for. And so it's kind of like no surprise that actually you're not finding what you want in your own backyard.
This reminds me of something really, really important. When I look back, and this is basically true for most of my adult life, mm. when I look back, how did I really find my friends? How mm-hmm. did I really find the people that are, you know, close to me right now mm-hmm. and really mean a lot in my life, mm-hmm. actually including you, my darling. Without exception, these things always happened via doing something together that both of us were really fascinated by mm-hmm. and putting us into ourselves into a context together to do something that we were really fascinated by. Mm-hmm. I met people through, you know, before Tantra even, I met many of my friends through, I used to do improv theater, mm-hmm. I used to do, you know, things like paragliding, things like certain things at university, but it was always, the first step was not to ask, is that person on the same page as me? Mm-hmm. The first question was a different question. It was, can we create a situation where we do something together mm-hmm. that fascinates both of us? Mm-hmm. And via that process, we are going to find out mm-hmm. whether we are on the same page. Mm-hmm. So this basically switches the question. It puts it on its head. Mm-hmm. We are like, we are putting ourselves into a situation together where we interact, where we do things together, and then either it's going to turn out, oh wow, we are really on the same page here, or it turns out that we might be on the same page in a different way, mm-hmm. or it might turn out that we are, you know, we're only partly on the same page, but that's okay too. Or it might turn out, yeah, you know, we've got the same interest, but no, actually, as a person. And then when you have gone through this experimental field together, and it can really be anything. It can be doing Tantra together. It can be, you know, people I've done plant medicine with. Mm-hmm. Other things with. And putting yourself through this experimental field together is actually you're gonna find out via that who is on the same page, but not the other way around. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, so that's referencing my previous point.
Yeah.
Around go to the communities.
Exactly.
Go and do the activities that other people are doing to make friends, make community, make lovers. Mm-hmm. The second thing we're saying, or I was saying, was make sure you're not repeating a childhood script.
Yes, yes.
The third thing we're saying is check the Grindr profile. Check your advertising that you're putting out there, who it is that you want to attract.
And the fifth, I would, you know, is do something together, even if you don't know if that person is going to fit. Via doing something together, you're going to know.
So let's expand that bit.
Yes.
So in what context are you meaning that?
I mean that in a context of anything that really fascinates you as a hobby or as a spiritual path.
Let me reframe it. Yeah. What does someone do with that practical advice living in a certain city? Do they, we've told...
Do you mean in a tantric?
No.
What
I mean is, how do they apply that? Because what I hear you saying is something about be experimental.
Yes.
Try things out. Mm-hmm. How do they find those people to do that? One piece of advice we gave them was about going to retreats, going to local groups, you may have to travel for that.
Yes.
But I say that there's another idea here on the table that we haven't talked about. And this leads on to, as I said, check the Grindr advert.
Ah, okay.
What is it that you're trying to cultivate? Have you put that experiment in your profile to try and attract people to you? And it might well be the geographical area that you live in that you can't instantly find people that know as much as you about Tantra. So you may have been on this amazing week, amazing year-long training, and you've done all this training and you go back home and there's nobody there. Well, it might be that your playmates or your tantric lovers, they may need your help and your training and your guidance to bring them up to the same base of knowledge that you have. So what I'm saying is rather than just looking for people that have done the same thing as you, although that's a really good place to look, also consider maybe taking somebody on a journey and bringing them up to your knowledge. And that is the journey of cultivating some tantric lovers.
Well, this do you know what this reminds me of?
What's that, my baby?
This reminds me of, it's not, you can do this even on a larger scale. Mm-hmm. And remember one time where we did this on a larger scale. It was during our Tantra training. Mm-hmm. And during our Tantra training, we ran into the same issue. Mm-hmm. And so what we did was we basically reached out to our little community, to all of these people that we had, you know, trained with and all of that. And we said, okay, we are now going to really put a stake in the ground. We are going to take the responsibility. It was you and me at first, I think, together with two other guys from our training.
Can we say the names? Werner and Michael?
Yes, Werner and Michael. Yeah. Both
beautiful,
both
Werner,
German,
beautiful
incredible,
Michael.
Incredible
beautiful
people.
Beings.
If you hear us, here's a huge, huge, huge hug going out to you too. Mm. So we basically then said, okay, we're going to put a stake in the ground and we are going to say, we're going to hire a log cabin. It was somewhere in the German Alps or something like that.
We did this about five, six
Yeah, wait,
times?
Wait, wait. Okay. And we're going to... For the first time, we said, okay, we're going to hire a log cabin and going to say it's going to be this weekend and we're going to invite all of these people from the community. Mm-hmm. And quite a few showed up, like 15 people or something like that the first time.
They did, yes.
And we had... and of course, it was, you know, everyone had to put some effort in because it took, you know, people traveled there from all over Western Europe in that case. But we had an amazing time.
We did.
And we did this... you know, we ended up doing this like three times per year. We ended up rotating. Mm-hmm. You know, it was two or three people from the group organizing this every single time, and that task rotated between people in the group. But what I'm saying is, at that time, you know, between my Tantra training, our Tantra training, and this group, the few weeks in between where I lived at the time, I didn't even feel the need to have tantric playmates there because I was so full of you know, having all these experiences already, and we had manifested that. Do you see what I mean?
So what you're saying is another avenue could be to find a group of friends, maybe from, you know, retreats that you've been to, people that you've connected with, friends, and to make an invitation to get together, you know, once a month, once every 3 months. I think ours was every 3 months.
Something like that, yeah.
We got together 3 or 4 times a year, and we had a whole weekend, and to share creating a program and share that in a group. I think that's a beautiful, brilliant idea. And for me, that was really formative for me in terms of the teaching that you and I would go on to do in later years.
Yes, and it was also formative for me to actually realize that you can't expect the community to magically spring up from zero. You need to create it for yourself. And when I look at how the community evolved, it was absolutely important that there were a few, let's say, leaders, people in it who say, okay, we're going to do this there, and I'm going to take the responsibility to organize this.
Yes.
So this is one thing, isn't it? You can't, unfortunately, in these, let's say, minority communities such as Tantra, unless you already live in a place where very, very well established groups exist, or where someone holds a retreat for you, or someone already organizes events that, if it isn't that, you will basically need to put effort in yourself, and not everyone does that.
And I think this is the thing that you're saying, effort.
Yes.
Actually, the problem is not that you're alone. The problem may be effort. In terms of, you may need to travel somewhere, you may need to do some research, you may need to get comfortable putting yourself into new events and feeling a bit scared and a bit timid, but kind of working that through. The other thing I wanted to mention as we're talking about communities is the festival, the Tantra Love Festival, that we have, you know, 100, 130 men. That for me is huge, where people make loads of connections with each other.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other things I want to explore here is the definition of tantric lovers and playmates. Yeah. Because I think another point to talk about here is people's definition of relationship structures. Because I think, you know, again, how many times have we heard in a Tantra workshop where people are looking for the partner, they're looking for the boyfriend, they're looking for the husband, they're looking for the person to settle down. And I've seen some people for many, many years, if not over a decade, that are still carrying on that search. And it feels like that's always going to be unrequited. It's never going to be met.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, whilst you're on that journey of looking, I love, and I don't know if you've seen this, Inga, I love that in the 19 years we've been teaching Tantra, how the definition of relationships have broadened.
Yes.
I think when we first started teaching, it was even before I think gay marriage was available.
Yes, definitely.
And it was like a boyfriend. And it's like, you just had a boyfriend. And, you know, maybe that's where we were at the time, or the circles that we were in. But I think what we've definitely seen is a much different broadening of relationships, in terms of we've seen people just be what I would call tantric lovers, that they meet and they share this tantric love that has an intensity to it. You know, for me, I would say in our early years, we were really tantric lovers together.
Yes.
And we just used to spend whole weekends, you know, long distance relationship. We had 2 and a bit days every 2 weeks, and we just shared tantric love for, I think, the first 2 years of our relationship. So what I'm saying here is, whilst you may be looking for that boyfriend, looking for that ideal thing, don't kind of have horse blinkers on. Make sure that you're available for other possibilities of love in the way that it wants to express itself. You know, you may have like a short-term tantric lover of 6 weeks, or, you know, a few months. it might be that actually you have a partner, or I say a partner, you have somebody you share tantra mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. that you may not necessarily be in love with. It's like, be available for different permutations or different possibilities for how tantra may arise and show itself in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, this important thing is to really clearly ask yourself the question, what is this relationship for mm-hmm. and what isn't it for?
Yes.
Because we get this thing where people tangle themselves up. People are like, oh, but I've got a partner already. How do I build a tantric relationship into that? Well, this actually reminds me of, you know, one of the key books that I read in my life about mm-hmm. relationships mm-hmm. was Dossie Easton, mm-hmm. The Ethical Slut, mm-hmm. which is basically about polyamory. Mm-hmm. And although I wouldn't necessarily, you know, identify as polyamorous, she deconstructs so many like unhelpful beliefs
okay.
that we have that hold us back from really having all of those relationships that we deserve. Mm. So she would probably say, I would reckon, is okay, be very, very clear, what is this relationship for and what isn't it? Not every relationship needs to be everything. Mm-hmm. If you have, let's say, you know, like for us, for example, mm-hmm. for us, it's extremely clear in our relationship mm-hmm. that we can have tantric relationships with other people mm-hmm. or sex with other people, mm-hmm. but there is something at the same time that completely is the core of our relationship.
Yes.
And that is something
that's not shared.
That is very, very, very big. Mm. It's like we want to really create our life together mm-hmm. and manifest and create what we create, Tantra yes. for Gay Men and other things in our life. So it goes, we plan for the next, you know, decades together and it's very clear that we are here on a mission. Mm-hmm. And that makes our relationship unique and mm-hmm. and being rooted with you in that mm-hmm. gives me the freedom to say I can actually mm-hmm. have tantric relationship with others without our relationship being
called into question.
Exactly. And this is what I say to many others, like, look at your, you know, they come to us often and say, oh, how do I cultivate a tantric relationship? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've got a relationship already and mm-hmm. I don't know if my partner, if is that gonna call my relationship into question. And I would say, you know, drawing on Dossie Easton, mm. it is not going to, as long as you really clearly spoken out, mm-hmm. bring into awareness mm-hmm. what makes each of these relationships unique mm-hmm. and what can't be touched by other relationships. Mm. And then that opens for me, that opens all of these possibilities for tantric relationships. And you could go to a tantric playmate and say, okay, this relationship is for this very mm-hmm. specific thing. Mm-hmm. It's for playing or having massage once per month, but it's not for this or that or the other.
Well,
you see what I mean?
The bit I wanted to point there to
yeah.
is, I think once you can get your head around mm-hmm. that you may have different types of relationships serving
exactly.
different types of needs, or let me reframe that, different types of different types of intimate relationships that yes. serve different needs.
Yes.
Once you're on board with that, and you know, if you're with a partner and they're on board with that, once you've got those agreements all laid out,
yeah.
I have seen some tantric lover relationships experience such intensity of ecstasy, of sex, of love, of bliss, and sometimes it's nice to have a relationship without it needing to be more than what it is.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is, sometimes, you know, I've also seen people try to take a relationship like
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
and make it into an everyday relationship. And it just doesn't yeah. work. It's beset with problems because that was never what the relationship was. So for me, it's like, you know, make sure that, you know, if you're embarking on a relationship of tantric lovers, I'm also reminded of another relationship where they just experienced art together and art and tantra. And there was never any question of moving in together.
Yes.
Both had stable partners, didn't want to change it. But there was something about art. There was something about tantra. There was something about sex and love that was able to be experienced at such a profound level because they didn't have any expectation of that being something else. So I think this other idea that I'm saying is, in terms of cultivating tantric lovers, cultivating playmates, be clear what that relationship is and what it isn't, and don't try and make it something that it isn't, and just enjoy it fully, deeply, and totally for what it is.
It doesn't even always have to be whatever profound or spiritual. Yes. You could even say, we are just conscious fuck buddies.
Yes.
And all... What this relationship is about, just to get together once in a while and to fuck. Mm-hmm. And neither of us wants anything more. Mm-hmm. And that can be super beautiful if it is basically very clearly out in the open and there are not these expectations in the background and all of that. So this can be stunningly beautiful, and this can actually be part of all these relationships, all these intimate relationships that you have, and play a very important role in that, where you have a relationship where you don't even have to be super conscious. You can actually share animalistic sex, and it's just for that. Mm-hmm. And that's tantric as well.
And or you could also share, just to put in there, Ingo, you could even share the most profound love.
Exactly.
The most profound spiritual experience. Yeah. Remember those bits we're doing, love and spirituality?
We are.
Not just sex. It could be all of it, or bits of it, or some of it. I just think what we're saying is, don't get hung up on trying to make something what it isn't. Enjoy the gift of what that is within what is there to be shared between you.
I'm actually bringing these more sexual examples for one particular reason.
Why is that?
Because so many people then say to me, oh, isn't it just sex then? Mm. Because I think, well, in Tantra, nothing is just sex.
Really not.
So these things have their place too, and they should never be discounted. Mm. And of course, it's fantastic to have all these very, very, very conscious and very spiritual relationships, but that might not be, you might need the other side too. Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about getting really okay the fact that you are a sexual being and that energy wants to be expressed.
Exactly. That's why I'm mentioning this.
But one of the other points I wanted to name here is I've heard many, many people feel that they're having unsatisfactory sexual connections with other men. And they blame the other men for this problem. And again, I come back to the advertising. What are you advertising? Who is it that you're saying you're looking for? And does the advert that you have match the type of person that you're wanting to attract? So, for example, if you're just randomly finding somebody on Grindr, no wonder you're going to be disappointed when they turn up and they're not ticking any boxes. And it's like, does your Grindr profile clearly outline the types of experiences that you want to share?
Yes.
And then make sure to go through with it and make sure that that is actually happening and that you're getting that.
Yes. That's the one strategy. And as we mentioned before, the other strategy would be, the other question would be, are you putting yourself into contexts, events, retreats, parties, you name it, where you are likely to meet like-minded souls around something that both of you like doing, whatever that doing is, and then you do it together, and then all of a sudden you have people you could actually deepen that relationship with into more intimacy.
I think the other thing I want to say here is people also sometimes expect the perfect lover to be right on their doorstep.
Ah, yeah.
And that ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's like we said earlier, you're going to need to put effort in. You're going to need to think about the type of people that you want to attract. You're going to need to put yourself out there. You're going to need to travel. You're going to need to, it's basically what I'm trying to say here. It's not going to land on your lap.
No.
You know, if you want to cultivate tantric lovers and playmates and have some of the most amazing experiences, mm-hmm. you're going to have to put energy in to go out and do that. And you're going to have to go and find those places, make those connections, find those playmates. We know, don't we, in our community of Tantra for gay men, mm-hmm. that there are some men almost internationally that meet and they go to different events and they yes. also meet each yes. other. And it's kind of between the USA and the UK and mm-hmm. bits of Europe.
Yeah.
And they have just the best time. And for me, there's something about, well, what kind of life is it that you want yeah. to attract? What type of people do you want to be connected with? What type of experiences do you want to have? And, you know, what are you willing to commit to make that happen? Because you're going to need to commit enough to actually make that happen. I've seen people sit there for a long time, oh my God, and go, especially in our earlier years, I've seen some people that are so stuck that life isn't happening the way they want it to, but they were unwilling to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. And they were just miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah, just miserable.
And there is another question coming up for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if some of our, you know, dear listeners, many of you will have never done any Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't even know what, maybe, you know, you, maybe you don't know that well, what do you do as tantric lovers? Mm. So once you manifest someone, what do you do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And I see this come up, for example, at our festival, mm-hmm. let's say, where many people who are completely new to Tantra come up and say, what do I even do with, all of a sudden I've got all of these persons around me who mm-hmm. would love to connect intimately.
Mm-hmm.
God, what do I do with them? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to touch a person. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never massaged a man. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to communicate, for example, what I want, mm-hmm. what they want, mm-hmm. what is okay for mm-hmm. them, what is not okay for them or for me.
Mm-hmm.
How do I, you know, how do I do all of these things? And so we make a point at our festival to basically put on, you know, basically coaching sessions
mm-hmm.
where that address all of these things that give these newbies basically a starter kit
mm-hmm.
of things to do so that they are not like, okay, what do I do? How mm-hmm. do I touch this mm-hmm. person or something mm-hmm. like that? And once that's quite easy to learn, but it needs to be learned person, you know, in person.
Mm.
But once you have got that and you've got a certain confidence mm-hmm. in doing this,
mm-hmm.
then you will always know what to do. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, you know, when you meet someone and you think, oh, there is something, mm-hmm. you always know what to do. You mm-hmm. can take them on a journey, even if they are new to the whole thing mm-hmm. and all of that. And that's why, that's one more reason why I find it in parallel to, you know, there's one thing about looking for playmates,
mm-hmm.
but there's another thing in honing your own skills
mm-hmm.
in, let's say, intimacy skills, mm-hmm. tantric mm-hmm. skills, mm-hmm. touch skills, massage skills,
mm-hmm.
all these skills that make up Tantra. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a certain beginner's level of these skills is super easy to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use them to already take people on quite a journey, you
beautiful.
Know.
Ingo, we're getting towards the end of our podcast, would you believe?
Yeah.
We're getting towards the end of the time here. Any things in summary that we would say? We started the podcast talking about cultivating tantric lovers, cultivating tantric playmates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've got some key ideas, haven't we? We put one of them was...
Yes.
Go to the communities and the events
yes.
that are happening.
Put yourself through experiences with people to
yep.
see who is on the same page, who
yep.
isn't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe create a peer group. Maybe
yes.
make sure your adverts are actually advertising the type of people you want to attract.
Become part of a Tantra tribe, so
yep.
to speak.
As yep. you said, you know, learn skills so you know what to
yes.
offer people.
Yes.
And I think one of the other ideas we said was put effort in. It's not going to land
yeah,
on
yeah,
your
yeah.
lap. You're
mm-hmm.
going to need to go out there and make that happen. Okay. Anything more to add to that?
No, I think this is a good
okay.
And yeah,
so
it's good.
Well, listen, why don't we talk? This podcast will be going live, I think, in late November, actually early November, I think, or mid-November, sometime in November this is going live.
November 2024.
I think our biggest invitation to people would be come to the Tantra Love Festival.
Yes.
In Glastonbury in the UK. It's, I think this, for 2025, it's Saturday the 23rd of August through to Wednesday the 27th of August. 130 men from all over the world, men coming in internationally. And we have an amazing lineup of teachers. I've just been reading the feedback from this year's festival, Ingo. And people are just in love and melted and... The other thing I would say is if the earlier you book, the better the accommodation you get. This happens every year. If you'd like a twin ensuite room, you probably need to book before Christmas.
And it's an ideal event if you are new to all of this.
Yes.
And if you feel you haven't even connected to a tantric tribe yet.
Yes.
Because that's where everyone comes together. Mm. We've got many people who are quite experienced and many new people. And that comes together and everyone just... It's everyone connects instantly. Yeah.
So if you want to be part of a Tantra tribe, the Tantra Love Festival is an amazing way to do that. And isn't it about 30% of men that come are new every year, brand new to Tantra?
Something like that. Yeah,
really good. Okay, listen, Ingo, you've been lovely. I've been lovely. It's been beautiful to experience this topic with you. And dear listeners, we look forward to seeing you on the next version of our Tantra for Gay Men podcast. Thank you, Ingo.
Thank you, darling.
Take care. Lots of love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hello there. So I hope you enjoyed our podcast about cultivating tantric lovers and playmates. We talked about the Tantra Love Festival. Details of that are at our website, tantraforgaymen.com. And we look very much forward to seeing you at episode 19 of the podcast. Take care till then. Cheers. Bye-bye.